Hi.
Amazing. Oh, this is so exciting.
Oh my gosh, how does our intro normally go?
It's like hello. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, let's just go with that. We don't have to have the same intro if we've already forgotten our old one.
Fly free from these bonds.
Exactly, our own bonds, but yeah, sure.
Okay, so hi.
Hi.
My name's Asia.
This feels very stunted.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Asya.
And my name is Manvi.
And welcome to a new season of Audacious Aunties.
So in this season, we'll be chatting like political activism and the arts within particular movements. And Asya is going to be the first one to start this off this week. And yeah, no, Asya, tell us more about your
Yeah,
plan.
wow, this season is a long time coming because although, like in previous seasons, all of our artists, there has been some sort of social commentary or like context that we've discussed. I think this season it's going to particularly be on the nose. The person that we're going to be discussing today was actually inspired by a recent visit to Somerset House because
Oh.
they had a small exhibition on this person and their work, and that inspired me to investigate more about them.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
beautiful. I feel like just to clarify with our audience, you might be confused about the potential like theme of this season. It's very much the sense that the topics are social movements and art within them, rather than like the way that we usually do, where it's like art and then they might fit into some kind of like social critique that's general. Does that make sense?
Yes, but
Does that make sense to you, Asya?
having said that, this is very much this episode is very much focused around one person and their art to do with a social movement.
Oh yeah, that's
I feel like
fine.
it'll be a
That's not
mixed bag this season
yeah.
of
But like the key point is the social movement, and then the artist or artists within it come under that umbrella term rather than the other way
yeah.
around. And I believe in us. I like that we had to clarify this during the podcast with each other, how this season's gonna work. Wow, can't wait for the organization that's yet
I
to
think
come.
that this season is very much go with the flow, which is also my attitude to the pandemic. Hopefully, we can all learn something. There'll be a general
Yeah.
thread that ties it all together. But you know, it's
Exactly.
okay if we all just live our truths and what our understanding of things are, you know?
This is very true. I like the idea of being open to interpretation this season.
Now, I feel like we've done that thing once more that we do every season where well, you don't know who this person is, but we allude to who it's going to be, but then don't actually reveal it for at least 5 minutes.
That's my favorite thing that we do on this show. But anyway, we haven't even like got on to what the movement is or anything. You've literally just said, I've been to Somerset House and this person
Yes,
inspired me.
no, I'm
So
going to start talking now. How
I'm
are you,
so proud.
Manvi?
5 minutes.
How are you? How's the
I'm brilliant. From our FaceTime that we had earlier on, things are going well for me. I'm doing
I'm glad.
well. And I'm very much taking up the philosophy of go with the flow
Excellent.
at the moment as well. And it feels very good, actually. I feel like I have definitely kind of like let loose a bit, like mentally and physically. I've been taking up yoga more.
Oh,
So my chakras are in line.
loving that.
What about you?
I am doing good as well. Just,
Okay.
you know, taking each day as it comes. And I
That
hope
sounds
whoever's
brilliant.
listening is doing good as well. Okay.
It's all about living for the moment. Anyway, the point is we need to
We
carry on with
really do.
this.
Right. So today, the social issue slash movement we're going to be looking at is identity in the Middle East and North Africa, specifically looking at migrants' rights and how they're seen not only by people who are living in the region but by people across the world, and specifically art and activism within that topic.
That sounds excellent.
So the kind of, to make it easier for me to navigate this episode, because obviously that's quite a big issue and there's lots that can be said about it, I'm going to be focusing in on one particular artist who did a lot of work with this issue and tried to raise a lot of awareness on it, and sort of explore this topic through that art. And their name is Layla Alawi. I think I'm
Layla Alawi.
Pronouncing her surname correctly. It's spelled A-L-A-O-U-I. She's a French Moroccan photographer and video artist.
I'm at the same time that you're saying this now, I'm now looking at her Wikipedia page. I love that you've literally just copied
page right now. Spoilers. So she was born in Paris to a Moroccan father and a French mother in 1982, but she grew up in Marrakech, and from a young age she had been surrounded by news stories and local community stories of migrants drowning at sea, taking hazardous journeys to go across the Mediterranean to Europe, mainland Europe, and she was realized that this was something that she was really interested in knowing more about, and so when she turned 18, having decided that she wanted to be a photojournalist, she moved to New York City and studied photography at City University of New York. And then from there her career just kind of progressed, and she started doing photo series and video series that would like highlight Syrian refugees to migrants to sub-Saharan immigrants and everything in between, and it was always very much focused around the Middle East and North Africa. It's interesting because there are quite a lot of interviews of her that were documented, and when she's talking about why she does these photo series and like gets herself involved in these communities to show who they are and what their story is, she speaks about how she wants to remove this the Western gaze, and that often these communities are exoticized. Is that a word?
Exoticized, like kind of like this Orientalism, like kind of motif.
And so she really wanted hers to be to remove that narrative and sort of form a new one where people from those communities and within those communities weren't seen as victims or interesting specimens, but actual people with stories.
Okay, so how did she go about doing that? Is there like kind of like a methodology, or is it just very obvious in her pictures?
Well, so she, a lot of her famous work are photo series of that focus in on sort of the face and body. So one of her most famous photo series, The Moroccans, is sort of a series of photos of people. She would take this sort of portable gazebo studio thing with her at, to the marketplace, and then she would wait for people to sort of go about their days and then get them to come into her little studio and take a photo of them just like on as their day goes by, and then they can leave again. And
I really like that because it's very like unprompted, you know, like the photography can't really like prepare for this moment, so it's very much like hopefully natural.
Well, she said that she spent time getting to know her subjects who represented various cultural identities within Morocco, and then she would so for this particular series she would photograph them against a stark black background, and that would allow the nuances and distinctive dress and facial features of each person to be really prominent.
Interesting. Wow, because I've just searched up the pictures now, and it the dark like the black background is like it's kind of terrifying kind of, but at the same time it definitely highlights the individual person and just like how unique every single person in this series is. It's like you can't kind of like typify Moroccan culture because it's just so vast.
Actually, I just found a quote about her methodology in an article. So she said that she would pick a region in Morocco and then spend a week in a village with her mobile studio so that people would get used to me and feel comfortable.
Oh, that's really good, because I feel like ethics in photography at the moment are very much like a point of debate,
mm-hmm.
about kind of should you be allowed to just take pictures of random people and just like publish it,
mm-hmm.
like with the famous example of like Steve McCurry and the Afghan girl. And it's nice that at this point it's like a mutual dialogue between her subject and her, you know, that she's not just using them to like as a kind of lens for the West to just look at like the Orient,
mm-hmm.
in a very like just matter of fact way and the tokenistic way.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I'm so impressed. Like, this looks amazing, her work.
Yeah, so the specific photo series that sort of links in with the topic that we were talking about was her film project, Crossings.
Okay.
And so this was all about sub-Saharan migrants and sort of how Moroccans viewed them, and also about their stories as people who were trying to... do an incredibly dangerous crossing. And in an interview, she was asked about what inspired her to start this project. And she said, for a long time, Morocco was just a transit country, but now it's a place of refuge for a lot of sub-Saharan migrants in search of a better life. Over the years, the oppression of these migrants has developed into a very contentious issue in Morocco. And as a Moroccan, I was very ashamed of it and felt somehow responsible for taking up the fight against the violent treatment of sub-Saharan migrants.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I feel like a lot of the time when you think about refugees being stopped at a point, you usually think of like the Spanish border or like Calais, or like the English border or something. It's always a Western country and you don't really think about it from like the other side,
mm-hmm.
and that even then there is like this backlog, there's like these constant hurdles throughout the whole process. It's not just like you get to the destination and you find the hurdle, it's like even before then.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's really interesting seeing her approach to I don't know, it's just really inspiring that she saw all of these, because she wasn't limited to just one social issue. There were so many sort of social activism that she did in her photo series that highlighted so many different topics that I've just never really known about. And the way that she did that, and then because obviously she studied in New York, her fame was slowly growing, and she she'd really found her voice and in the West as well, so she managed to bring those stories and that representation in a way that she believed in to the Western world.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so this series, Crossings, can you like describe it for our viewers?
Yes, so there is a nice little descriptor here. Crossings explores the experience of sub-Saharan migrants who embark on the perilous journey to reach the elusive shores of Europe. The three-screen video installation focuses on the collective trauma provoked by the embodied experience of crossing boundaries and becoming a fragile community in a new habitat. While exploring the experiential textures of psychological and physical transition, the installation also gestures towards the concept of Europe as a problematic utopia in the African imagination.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like the use of problematic utopia.
There's
so many ways to interpret that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, is it problematic because, well, obviously we have problems in Europe, or is it problematic in the sense that it's unattainable and that's what makes it problematic, but it's still seen as like a utopia at the end of the day? That's really interesting. Oh god, wow, I'm really impressed. Good job, Asya.
Thank you. There are some things about Layla and her personal life and views that I also think would be quite interesting for us to explore. She did an interview a couple of years ago, and so as I was mentioning at the start of the episode, so she was born in Paris and has a French mother, a Moroccan father, and she grew up in Marrakesh, and she's often been asked about like this dual identity of you know, Moroccan or French, which one does she feel, that kind of thing, which is, you know, a lot a concept of identity which is quite common, especially for diaspora.
And especially because it is like an East and West kind of identity clash as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because in her response to that question once, she said, I grew up as a French Moroccan in Morocco, but somehow I was always seen as French in Morocco and as Moroccan in France.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Always like the idea of just highlighting the differences no matter where you are.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I think that really affected like the path that she took after she graduated, because she very much saw herself as a nomadic artist that sort of traveled a lot, she kind of went between Morocco, Lebanon and France, but also to lots of other places, and mm-hmm. like traveling almost became her home.
Yeah, wow, that is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the idea of traveling as well, and that definitely affected her personally, but then the idea that the idea of refugees traveling is very different, but at the same time there is that link between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly.
Wow, I'm really impressed by her. So then what happened to her? Because I've seen that she's no longer alive, which is really sad because she died in 2016, which is, what, she's only 33 then?
Yeah, no, so this is really sad. So she was on Amnesty International commissioned her to do a photo series on women's rights in Burkina Faso.
Uh-huh.
And so she went to Burkina Faso in January of 2016, and while she was out for the day, there was a terror attack that happened in which she was shot, then she died a couple of days later in hospital.
Oh God, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's obviously really, really sad because a lot of people said that she was one of the most promising photographers of her generation.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend actually is quoted as saying that, you know, she felt like she had like a lot ahead of her, like she had so many ideas of sort of social causes that she wanted to highlight and learn about and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's That's interesting really seeing her legacy.
Yeah, and just at the age of 33 as well, you think, oh God, she's done this much, and yet she could have done so much more because she was so young.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. But no, her life sounds really interesting. Thank you so much for sharing this, Asya.
No problem. I feel like, I don't know, when I originally read about her, because during when I was at Somerset House, I mm-hmm. there was a paragraph that must have mentioned the fact that she had died, but I hadn't read that, so I didn't know until I started researching her.
Uh-huh.
And it made me want to talk about her even more because, you know, her work has survived in us continuing to talk about it and the issues, because the issues that she was the projects that she was working on, like crossings, is so relevant today, and none of these issues have been resolved. Like in the UK it's relevant. Preeti Patel has spent the past year on the attack against refugees and asylum seekers and migrants who are coming over to the UK, so it feels like an ever relevant discussion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a really important thing to think about, because I think that when people think about the refugee situation, it's very much from a standpoint that like we've almost become desensitized to it, and it seems like it's just ever going, and it's just something that's like part of life, when it shouldn't be seen like that. It should be seen like something that should end eventually, that like, we shouldn't have to be having this like worry, you know, it's like something should be done about it, then like they should be helped. And I think that this coming into our first theme as a series that's about social movements hopefully means that it's something that will come to something rather than just kind of it being an everlasting like issue.
Exactly, yeah. Because there is social movements and social groups who are vocal about migrants' rights, and that's really good, but it does feel as though I feel like there's so much more work that needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. No, I definitely agree. And I was just continuing to like look at her Wikipedia page, and it said that after she died, her remains were flown to Morocco at the expense of the king, who was King Mohammed VI of Morocco, which is so impressive, you know, that like she had such an impact that the king personally wanted to bring her back to the country, because obviously she's a brilliant photographer, and just the idea that she was noticed in during her lifetime is so impressive.
Yeah, exactly. I think she really, the way that she made an impact that was all-encompassing, from, you know, the NGOs of the West to the King of Morocco,
yeah,
just is amazing.
Yeah, and so few people can do that. It's just really sad, you know, that, like, this has had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, either way, thank you for sharing, Asya. Like, this has been really interesting learning about her, and I'd definitely like to look at more of her other series as well. Honestly, it's brilliant, and it's really interesting that they're continuing to show it at places like Somerset.
It's Somerset House, yeah.
Yeah, Somerset. I just combined the two together.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the rest of this series to see what we learn about and the artists that we discover along the way. I thought I would kind of like end on a wider point.
Go on.
Because in one of her interviews, she's talking about like the wider art scene in the Middle East and North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying how Beirut and Marrakesh have some of the liveliest art scenes in the Middle East and North Africa,
mm-hmm.
and there is so much potential and amazing artists and art galleries,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a cultural hub for the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's just really sad that I feel like we don't know anything about artists that come from that part of the world.
Yeah,
because all we really see is, you know, pictures of like destitution,
mm-hmm.
and not this other side that obviously there's a vibrant art scene in Marrakesh, and this has encouraged me to learn more about different artists from that part of the world and what projects they're working on.
Oh, well, that's good. I feel like this is like the reason why all the Horizontes exist, to like decolonize culture, you know, like culture isn't just something that is experienced in the Western world. Like, you don't have an art scene only like in Paris or London or New York, it's all over. And that was actually going to lead me to another question that I wanted to ask, which was her work also shown in the Middle East, or was it only shown in the West?
It was shown at lots of places. One second, I think I have a list here.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so it's been shown in Germany, France, UK, China, Morocco, Cuba, Spain, France,
yeah.
Canada, Italy, Sweden, Portugal, where else? Senegal, a lot, Tunisia, mm-hmm. Argentina.
Wow.
A lot of places in Morocco, Beirut, Dubai.
Wow.
Egypt, just basically many corners of the earth.
That's brilliant. Honest, like, wow, what an icon this woman was, and still continues to be, like, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Asya. This has been a really good first episode, and it's made me excited for the rest of the series now.
Same. I am intrigued to see what day this goes out.
Yeah.
And looking forward to chatting with you soon.
Indeed.
And of course, if anybody who's listening has an idea for who they want us to talk about in this series, if you have somebody in mind, just pop us a message on our Instagram and our Twitter at Audacious Aunties.
We also have an email as well. And I personally feel like I haven't been saying like that much, but equally I'm never aware of it.
I get what you mean. I'm definitely going to listen back to this and just remember how painful it is to edit my own voice. Yes. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This audio was brought to you by Manveer Dobb and Asya Iftikhar.
We don't know much, to say the least.
But if you would like to share your thoughts, knowledge, criticisms, fan mail,
then pop us an email at audaciousaunties@gmail.com.